Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 5/15 through 5/28.
Give yourself grace, like to remind yourself you're doing a good job, you're doing the best you can. You wouldn't be here listening to this right now. You wouldn't be, you know, connecting with people or trying to like figure things out if you weren't a good mom. And you have to remind yourself that you really are an incredible mom. And like you, to our point, we have our days, we have our moments, and that is normal and that happens, but we're all doing the best we can. And I think at the end of the day, you just have to keep finding those moments, those wins, like you said, when you don't lose your shit, or like don't forget to, you know, don't always focus on the things that you feel like you're doing right. Remember to also reward yourself for those things that you're doing right, because you'll realize there's a lot more than you think.
Yo, yo, welcome back to That Twin Mama Podcast. Your girl Lauren here. And on this episode, we're talking mindfulness. We're talking staying grounded. We're talking mental wellness, which is something that is a little bit hard for us twin moms, if you know, you know, to always keep. And that's okay. There's no judgments here. It is Mental Wellness Month. And so that's what we're talking to. I got my girl, Krista McGee. Y'all may recognize her as a former Peloton's instructor. She was actually the homegirl that pioneered the yoga and Pilates program on Peloton. She also is still doing yoga and Pilates. She's a teacher. She's a speaker, she's a mompreneur, she's an author, and she has over 3 decades in this space and has had like celebrity clients. She is that girl. I'll also say she has twins plus one. She also had her twins plus her child later in life, which, as you know, as a twin mom, you already come as a quote unquote high risk. And then if you have your kids over 35, they like to call us geriatric. Yo, offensive, offense. Offended. But anyways, we talk about what that can feel like, or how she dealt with having kids later in life and what comes with that. We talk about mindfulness practices and how to keep your sanity when you feel like you might be going a little crazy. And guess what? Even this woman who I aspire to be and practices daily routine, self-care, all the things, has moments where it's like, what the hell is going on? So I hope you learn in this episode. You definitely will. I hope you feel seen as well and like it as much as I do. Let's do it.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Welcome, everyone. Kristen today is here on That Twin Mama Podcast. Hey, girl. So excited that you're here. Hi.
So happy, finally.
I know. I feel like I've been a fan of yours forever. And so it's just like great to like see, even though we're not in person, she's right now in Idaho, I'm in Arlington, but I feel like we're meeting kind of.
Same. And then I've been a fan of yours forever. I feel like I know you. I know your girls. I know. It's just so.
Yes, I know. Twin moms, we find each other somehow. We get it and we find each other and we hold it down. Yep. Okay. I know we're going to get into all the things that Pilates, grounding, the wellness, like wisdom that you have. But before we do, I need to know like the most non-Zen WTF chaotic parenting moment that has happened for you in the past week or so.
Just yesterday it happened, my Lord. So my boys that are 8 now, my twins, Robert and William, and they have a really fun friend, but he's also just like super boy energy, and they all have soccer practice. He comes over, I'm trying to get their cleats on. And my one boy is like, these cleats don't fit. And he wants different cleats. But in the meanwhile, the other two have their cleats on, but they're running around the house. And I keep trying to say, like, we've got these hardwood floors. And I keep trying to say, like, no, like no cleats in the house. You know, like they'd have to take off their shoes if they wanted to play and run around. I wouldn't have minded, but they had to get to soccer. And here they are running with cleats. And then you know how the cleats get all that like mud and grass caked in? So that's like falling everywhere on the floor. I just like mopped. And so finally I was like, I lost it. I felt bad. I tried. And finally I was just like, stop. We're putting these other shoes on. You guys are getting out on the field and getting that energy out. Like they need to like run outside.
I feel that so much. And it's interesting because I have one boy that is my oldest, but like my girl, boys are just different than girls when they're little. Like I feel for you, three boys,
two of them being twins, like just this cleats and dirtness. My girls would be like, oh my gosh, it's dirty. We can't. This is disgusting. Let's sit down and color. Or
color. I love it.
But not boy mom energy. None of that. You know, I empathize a little bit, but not really. Well, I'm just like, I'm great to just ground us because I feel like we're all just out here just surviving, living our best life. Some of us may have practices, which you're going to teach us about, but I just always like to ground everybody. Like, no one knows everything. None of us are perfect parents. And we each have our days of like, whoops, what WTF? So I want to back up a little bit because you became a mom a little bit later in life. You had your oldest when you were 39, right? Mm-hmm. And then you had your twins in your 40s. And I feel like there's so many different things that come with that from all over. So let me just ask you directly, how was that experience personally, physically, emotionally, having your kids later on in life?
Very different. And I, when I got married, I wanted to start having kids sooner, but we just weren't able to, we weren't getting pregnant. Yeah. And then finally started doing the IVF route. And that's when I got pregnant with my first son, Timothy, when I was 39. And I thank God I had a yoga Pilates practice up until that point, because I feel like physically I did pretty good. I was like, whoa, yeah. I kind of liked being pregnant. I was still going to the gym. I was doing my yoga. I felt great. And he was a vaginal delivery, and that was all good and everything as well. But I felt like the wisdom I had gained being an older mom was wonderful. But then kind of the energy that you lack as a younger mom where you're like, whoa, like it really hits you hard. Mm-hmm. Those sleepless nights and you're like 24/7 breastfeeding, or I was anyways. And so that was kind of eye-opening, but I so fully enjoyed even the pregnancy process and the whole birth process, and then being a first-time mom, it just felt incredible, especially since I had tried so hard to get pregnant, and it felt just like a miracle. And then, you know, with the twins, it was funny because my ex-husband was like, one and done, no more kids. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to have more. And I did the exact same protocol that I had done with Timothy at the Reproductive Medical Associates. The two embryo transfer, like they said, most likely, even at your age, neither will even stick. And sure enough, they both, And so now I'm like, now I'm pregnant with twin boys of all things. But that pregnancy was definitely different. Like being, and you know, like,
yes,
woo, your body changes so much. That's how I developed the diastasis, where like the linea alba splits, and I had to work super hard to fix that. I felt like my pelvic floor had so much after. They were 7 pounds and 6 pounds, 7 ounces. I went almost 39 and a half weeks. Isn't that
wow? You went far too, because I went 38 weeks or whatever, 30.2. Yes.
That's
and
awesome.
People don't understand. I mean, good to, 30, not, that's wild.
Most people are like, oh, 36 weeks.
Exactly. I mean, most twin babies, I don't know what the percentage is, are born prematurely. It's just our bodies. It's like not until the girl. That's like two full big babies.
We did good.
We did that. Yo, look at us.
And like Robert was head down, baby A, and William was breech. He was baby B. But then the doctor was like, we're going to have to do a C-section, because I felt like they were both starting to like fight for the canal at the end. And so then I did a C-section with them, which was a different kind of delivery. Yeah. So, but it's interesting now when I work with women to at least be able to like grasp what it was like to have the vaginal and then the C-section,
right?
All the different complications that can come with either or both.
Yes.
And then, you know, it just was chaos at that point, having a 3-year-old and newborn twin boys. And I really appreciate my nanny. That is just a godsend, because without a village or without the extra help, it would have been.
I mean, twins, like alone, if you have a partner, like you, it's just a lie. Like but with three, then two, you are literally outnumbered, even if you have a partner that is trying to do things. Like it's just a whole, and with a toddler too. Like I had my twins, my son was 10.
I was gonna say, so was he helpful?
He wasn't, so this is interesting, because a lot of people, it was during COVID, right? And so he was going through so much. He was being home, like schooled, viral, whatever you called it, like virtual schooling. And so people would stop him often and be like, oh, get ready to change diapers, get ready to babysit. And I would look at them and be like, these are his sisters. He has a lot going on. He does not, he's not going to have to do any of those things unless he wants to.
Ew.
So like I made a very big point of that, because I just did not want him to feel like this is a burden now that I have. I'm no longer my only child. Like I don't have my mom and dad's fun, like only attention. Exactly. And now I have to take care of these two things that I don't even know who they are. Right.
Yeah, so That's sort of pressure on him.
Yeah. Yeah. So he did help, but not like only if he wanted. He'd like sometimes come up and be like, can I read to them? And very much very low pressure, at ease. And that's kind of how their relationship is now. It's just like a genuine bond versus like, I got to take care of my little sisters who are now tormenting him. So, but even so, yeah, cool. Thank you. It was something we intentionally tried to do, but even with the help would have been great, I guess, but it's just, you don't know unless you know.
True.
When you bring two newborn babies home, like period, with kids, without them, it's just such a different experience.
The table for two?
I did not. I was going to get that, but then I just got two bouncy seats because
works as well.
Did you guys use
the table? I did have that little table for two. I just remember in the early stages having these two little guys sitting next to each other and this like little system. And that's when Timothy every now and then would come and help. He would like kneel down next to them. But I was similar with you, where I wanted him to feel like he had his own identity.
Yes.
If he wants to be hanging out with them, he can. If he needed his own little space, he could.
Right. Yeah. And then I think I talked about this with, I can't even remember who, but just preparing preparing your oldest for the twins' arrival. Just, did you like talk with Timothy? I'm assuming that's your oldest's like name. Did you like, did he know who they were? Like, did they have names? Like, was he ready for like little bros coming home and everything?
I remember we even had a book about like him as a brother and like what he was going to bring home with the two little babies. And also I was going to wait till he went to kindergarten, really pretty much, for him to start school.
Right.
But he ended up going to this little preschool, which was kind of actually nice because then he had his own little
place
to go to and friends that he could make. And it also gave me time at home to be with Robert and William and focus on them. And then when he was home, I could focus on it was really nice.
Yeah. But having the something else too, because like I feel like the twins are so all encompassing of your time and energy, especially in the beginning. You just like made me have like a little bit of a flashback and I don't know how I feel about it, but just like the little reliefs that you get as a twin mom, like when they could start holding their own bottles.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I think singletons, it's different. Like, it's just different. But when you can, like, let your arm, they just hold them. I remember being like, okay, we've hit a milestone. Like, sleeping through the night was the first one. Holding their own bottles, I was like, God bless you. And, like, crawling up the stairs or walking themselves up the stairs without the car seat. Just these little things, y'all. Twin moms, you know if you know, okay? These are the things we look forward to.
Exactly.
Okay, but I also want to think a little bit more because I don't know if people realize that so many twin parents, for whatever reason, some it's because they've tried to have kids and they ended up going into like fertility treatments. And so they were older in life when they had their twins. Another thing, spontaneously, a lot of times there's a factor of being older. Like is a factor that ties into twins. Like I
read that it's easier to become pregnant with twins when you're older.
When you're older, exactly. So it's interesting because
it just happened natural.
It just happened naturally. There was a couple of things that like I took out my ID recently prior to that, but I was told I couldn't have kids. And I went on a whole holistic journey with just like my diet and health because I had really bad acne, but balanced my hormones to balance, like it's all connected, right? Gut health, skin health.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, they thought I went into this clinic because I was trying to get pregnant. Because like, oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Like, you're not able to get pregnant. And we can see why. I was like, girl, bye. I'm actually here for my acne, but pause. And we were just going on the skin journey, right? And then just a symptom of me healing all these things. Like, oh, you are pregnant. Oh, they're twins. I'm like, okay. Not to say, like, I'm not a doctor, but this is just my story of what happened. Yeah. And it was a magical miracle.
So
but I think
cool.
about that too, because we were labeled, you're labeled high risk when you become a pregnant mom with twins, period, you're high risk. Mm-hmm. And then the geriatric thing, which is so annoying and just like, I guess if you're 35 or older, they call you like a geriatric pregnancy.
Yeah.
So I'm curious from your experience, I think you were in New York, right? When you were pregnant with everyone. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're probably a little bit more open, but did you feel from society or just others just being like, oh, you're going to have kids at that age, or any pressures from like maybe the peers of your kids' parents at schools? Like, what did it feel like being just on the, like an older quote unquote mom? Or does it not feel like that? Because I feel
I think I really lucked out.
Yeah.
Maybe it was being in New York City because there's so many different walks of life and so many people in different ages and people just having kids on their own because they want to have kids and people, you know, getting pregnant much later. Like I think And maybe it was just because my energy was always younger. Like I felt like all the fitness and the stuff I was around, I never really felt, I still don't feel my age a lot of times, but I never really felt like an old pregnant woman. So luckily I didn't get a lot of that kind of backlash or criticism.
Yeah.
Judgment, right. Which is really awesome. Like to think back now on that and realize that, you know, none of it was, it is interesting though, you, when you go to school, pick up or drop off, I think that's when I started to notice more like the age discrepancy as I got, you know, like when they were all in elementary school and I was like, oh, there's a lot of like younger moms. There are also older moms, but you can start to like notice that difference.
Yeah. That's so interesting. And I think that women in general are waiting longer to have kids if they want to have kids, right? Like just being career oriented. And I've just been,
they would call it a geriatric pregnancy.
Right. Yeah. And I just was like, that's freaking rude. And I know some dude came up with that. Like anyway, but then I also just think about how much people, you know, put this pressure on their biological clock and like what that pressure feels like. And this is all to say, like, I mean, you're gorgeous and age is whatever. No, like literally you could probably run circles around my 21-year-old self, but all to say that like whatever pressures you feel or society is putting on you, if you're a mom who is struggling or not sure, like sure if you want to have kids or if you have to wait, once that you hit 35 and people are like, why aren't you having kids? Geriatric, like just drown it out. I mean, do you, I think, cause like, I think it doesn't help when you allow those pressures to come in, right?
100%. I totally agree. That is such good advice.
Yeah.
There is no rush.
There is no rush.
Yep.
Do exactly. And don't force it if it doesn't feel right too. With like, if you want to do it on your own, do it on your own. If you don't have the right partner and you're like, maybe this will fix things. It will not.
It will not.
It will not. It will just intensify whatever the hell is there. Okay. It's it's so true. You briefly mentioned how you healed your diastasis recti or had diastasis recti after twins. I want to talk a little bit more about that. Like, how was your recovery? How did you do that? Because I feel like almost every twin mom that carries to at least the third trimester probably will develop DR, period. Like just
100%.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize I had it until I remember a month or so later, I had my really good friend who's a Pilates teacher as well. She was coming over. We were starting to work out together and she was like, ooh, shark fin. And I'm like, shark fin, what are you talking about? She's like, shark fin. Cause it's when your belly cones, right? When you see that kind of like bulging out. And then I looked down and I was like, oh yeah, I do see that. And then I noticed she's like, let me check you for DR, for diastasis. Yeah. She did like the finger check and she was like, whoa, like you can stick my fingers all the way in there and there's this gap. And then I went down this whole rabbit hole of research and all the different things. I remember I was using the KT tape. I was like taping that area to help Asha could kind of get this idea of coming back together. There's this whole system of how you tape a DR. I was doing all of the breath work. Like it's very, very back to basics. You know, like learning how to rebreathe without the reverse breathing, learning how to let your ribs start to soften in front again, because like the rib flare that we get when we're pregnant, learning how the diaphragm, the pelvic floor, the breath all works together, you know, all the little simple exercises you start with also learning how to relax your pelvic floor, then engage your pelvic floor, how the inner thighs are connected. Like everything is so connected, but it's also so, it feels like the Bermuda Triangle at first, like you don't even gain awareness there. So I think it's very little by little. And it's great if you know, once you have it, to not do the things that can exacerbate it or make it worse. What happens is a lot of people don't realize, and then they just go right back into working out, doing planks, doing sit-ups, doing these moves that can like put more strain. So like once you know that you have it, then it's like frustrating because it's so slow and tedious, but you have to go through all of that basic core work to rebuild your transverse abdominals, your inner core to support. And then for some people, if they just have a really, really like a four finger gap or a really wide diastasis and they feel like they've done everything they can, there's no shame in getting surgery. I've known friends to another fellow twin mom who ended up finally having it like a year or two ago because she also had an umbilical hernia and it's been a game changer for her.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, I had insurance wouldn't cover it. They covered the hernia. I know it's not a problem. It's not considered anything but cosmetic, no matter what pain it's causing you or like implications if it came from pregnancy. period.
It doesn't be low back pain. It can be urine. Yes. Anything.
It could be anything. I had the hernia is what they were like, okay, we have to remove this. So you're going under. So we'll partially heal this. And I was like, well, then take away my extra skin. I'll do a tummy tuck. So
totally.
I just did it all.
How did that go? I'm dying to hear.
Oh God. That's amazing. I mean, amazing. 10 out of 10, million out of 10 recommend. Literally obsessed. Like
incredible.
You cannot tell me nothing. I was Britney Spears.
The recovery hard?
Yes. The recovery was hard. Like it was, but I didn't have a C-section. I think it's similar where like, you know, you can't like stand up for a while.
Wait, you didn't have a C-section? You delivered your girls?
I did. Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Which is part of the reason why my diastasis recti was so bad. So I probably didn't have as great of a foundation with you. I've always been active, right? So because my baby B came out breech and butt first. And
oh, my God.
Broke my pelvic bone. Like, it was broken.
Oh, Lord.
I was in the hospital for 2 weeks after that because of that. And because... What? My pelvic floor was so shattered, right? Like I wasn't really able to build the strength I needed to even heal a diastasis recti, then develop this huge hernia. So basically my girls messed me up so daggone much where I was able to get a little bit of money from insurance to cover like healing that. But most women are not in that boat. And what really surprised me is that if you were to get it, it's they don't say it's gender-based, but like, let's say you cause diastasis recti from lifting physically something too much, right? Mm-hmm. Insurance will cover it. Exactly. And most of that time that happens to guess men.
Yeah.
So you can get it covered if you do it to yourself, but if you go through pregnancy, sorry, shit's on you.
We need to change that law. We need to start a coalition and ask for these poor women, because to your point, like I don't even know. And I don't know for sure, but I don't even know if you can ever completely heal diastasis. Right. I don't know if you can ever get that linea alba to exactly come back together. Once that's torn, it's torn. You can do everything you can to live functionally with the diastasis, possibly. Yes. But you, like to your point, sometimes you can't. Like sometimes there are, and like hernias are no joke. Like that's your organs coming out. Like you
exactly.
Have that repaired.
Exactly. And more organs can come out if you don't get it repaired. Like I had another twin mom that like, she could feel like her intestines and like, no, it's not going to be covered. It's like, what? Wild. So you can
floor therapy. I wish they would start to cover that more and give more and more women, whether you're a twin mom or not, like just the tools after pregnancy to say like, here's where you go for pelvic floor therapy. This is what you need for like core rehab, like all of those things.
Yes. Cause I don't think I think we're now talking about it. Like the internet has its blessing and curses because we're like, that's true. You know, because like, but I didn't even think about having a pelvic floor therapist until it was too late. And I was like, wait, I wish I had that on my baby registry. Forget this, whatever, you know, snoo. I would have figured it out. I would have loved a pelvic floor therapist. You know what I mean? I needed that. But thinking about how you were able to heal yours as much as you could, like naturally and through exercises, how did semantics play into that? Because I know that you have a new book coming out with that. Like, so I want to talk a little bit about that.
Oh, I love that. Very good question. So I wrote a book. It's the one of the Four Dummies books, like the Wiley brand. They started way long ago, I think, even with like Adobe for Dummies or like Computer for Dummies way back in the day.
Well, we know. This audience should know.
Somatic exercises for dummies. And somatic, all of that work is just mainly of the body. And it's more about working in than it is working out. Yeah. And it's all about getting to know yourself from the inside out so that you can be your own best guide, your own best, you know, friend when it comes to healing your body. And so I think being able to, as women, sometimes we get a little disconnected and we're so busy being moms. And like you were saying, it's too late all of a sudden because you're like, oh, I wasn't even paying attention to my pelvic floor. I was nursing twin babies, you know?
Exactly.
But being able to continually check in with ourselves so that we can know what's going on and be able to articulate that if we had to go to the doctor to say, you know, this really is bothering me. And I know you might say, I don't need this exam, but I'm going to tell you I need that exam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel like somatics is a lot about getting to know yourself, and any form of exercise can be somatic in nature. It's all just your intention and how you're performing it. So you could be lying on the floor doing glute bridges, just whatever, watching TV, or you could be very concentrated thinking about the muscles you're engaging, using your breath with the workout, coordinating the pelvic floor movements with the glute bridge. I think it's all about kind of your intention around how you perform the exercise. Yeah. And so that's why some of this work can be so tedious, because you really have to focus the entire time. You can't just like mindlessly you know, run on the treadmill and watch your favorite TV show. It's more about like listening to your footfall and how you're breathing, the biomechanics of running. So it's very cool because any exercise or workout can become more somatic in its nature. It's just about your attention and really
in. Oh, I'm so intrigued now. Like I do think
I'll get you a copy for sure. I'll just have them send you.
I would love. Because I think that's just so fundamentally important for moms who are from like physically, like our bodies are not ours for like a very long time. We're like birthing these babies. We get the babies come out and everybody's just like, is the baby healthy? Like even in your OB is like, okay, we got the baby out. We'll see you in 6 weeks. Oh, you have diastasis recti? No, you don't. Who cares? Or they'll gaslight you. I'm like, hey, something might be wrong. It's like, no, it's fine. That's normal. Just have sex again. You're cool. Like it's literally, you have to be your own body's advocate.
Yes.
And that starts with really knowing it and like taking the time to slow down to maybe pay attention to that ache, your lower back ache that happens every however many hours now that you're just like, oh, yes, I'm just going to live with this. It's nothing. Or like this slight pain in your chest that could be something like just
heartache.
You can't. Exactly.
You nailed it on the head too, taking the time to slow down.
Yeah.
Like somatics is a lot about slowing down and listening.
And that's so hard for moms, but it's so important. And I want to get to like, I love how somatics could be. It seems obviously very beneficial physically, but like the idea of slowing down, understanding your breath or regulating your emotions in any way, shape or form, I feel it could be super helpful during like big life transitions that we all go through as moms where something may happen that we didn't expect in our motherhood planning journey. We didn't think this was going to happen. A career change, a partner that like is now absent. And I know that you, two huge things that I've seen you go through with from the outside looking in, so much grace, so much beauty, so much inspiration has been
that.
No, I really, really do mean it. But one, the decision leaving Peloton, which is like, I think probably was a big deal. And I know you're a single mother. So take me through, like, because I'm in admiration. But for those listening who might be going through something that they had to reinvent themselves in some way, or their identity has completely changed after motherhood, or they might be single parenting and that was not in the cards for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you want to start.
No, I love what you said about the also with somatics being so much about the mind-body connection. And I have a whole chapter on breath work and awareness and things you can do with meditation even. Nice. There's the 5-4-3-2-1 centering technique, which is really nice. And it's great for anxiety or when you're in the moment, when you're feeling really overwhelmed and frustrated, you just focus on 5 things you can see, 4 things you can hear, 3 things you can feel, 2
like
things
you
can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. So you use your 5 senses to ground yourself in the moment. And even just by doing that, by taking the time to like slow down and, you know, do the 5-4-3-2-1, it's great for our kids as well. You know, like what are 4 things you can see right now? What are 4 things you can hear? It just brings you into the moment immediately, helps you feel safe. There's so many amazing breathing exercises, like even box breath, where you can inhale for a count of 4, hold your breath for a count of 4, exhale for a count of 4, and then keep the exhale or stay empty for that count of 4. Yeah. So a lot of the breath work, a lot of the mindfulness, I have a twice daily meditation practice. So 20 minutes first thing when I wake up, 20 minutes kind of midday. It's that check-in with myself, what's going on. My mind might be running the whole time, but still at least I'm just sitting there with myself and kind of processing it. It's like the wash machine, like the spin cycle, you know, you just let it spin. Eventually there's a time where it's going to feel easier. But like my favorite meditation teacher, his name is Light Watkins, and he would say, it's fine to get lit, lost in thought. Like get lit. Got it. Because everyone always touches themselves when they meditate. You know?
Right.
I'm thinking, I'm not meditating. He's like, get lit. It doesn't matter. Like, just be nonchalant about it, because then that's when you finally kind of drop in.
Yes. And I love
that. Yourself or trying to stop it, you know?
Yeah. And that's so relatable and like realistic too. Cause I think that sometimes we lose some moms or people who are like, I can't meditate. I don't have this like beautiful altar, Buddha altar, or I'm not into like this thing or like a mat and like candles. Where I think there was I don't know what interview I heard you on, but you were talking about like maybe the beginning one was in your bed or something, or like,
I just wake up and sit in my bed.
Yeah. And like, I've been recently doing that starting maybe a few months ago, but I too thought that I had to be in a different room and like a space where if I'm just like in the dark in my bed, I just put my headphones in. I was like, oh, this is super doable. Like what? And it helps so much the days that I do intention. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes. Sometimes it's just 5 minutes. Exactly. Exactly. And so some of the things that you're naming, like, I think it just makes it more like tangible for maybe someone that has never done that. And it doesn't have to be this, like, you know, like free to be you and me. Like, it's not necessarily that I think that sometimes our like Gen X millennial brains, like, I'm not like that. I got shit to do. I'm like, no, you got shit to do. This will help you. And if you are thinking while you're doing it, it's okay. Like, right.
That's like, if you don't think you have 5 minutes to sit in meditation, then sit for an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It actually like gets you, you're more productive once you've just like, and you're right. 5 minutes, 3 minutes, wherever, whenever. Like he would even say, you know, do it at school, like when you're waiting for your kids at pickup, if you're on the bus, if you're on the train, if you're in the airplane, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be some big formal. And so that's helped me quite a bit. And the Peloton thing was so, so hard because I loved that job more than anything. Yeah. And I went to New York University as an acting major.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I discovered yoga. And to have a job like Peloton where it's like, the best of both worlds, the production and the acting and the on camera combined with yoga and meditation and Pilates and the things I love. And, you know, not to mention the people were awesome and my colleagues and just the work itself I loved. And it was the first time I'd ever had a salary job, like the first time ever I had benefits, you know, up until that point I was running around the city. I would teach freelance. I would do, you know, so that was like really huge as well. But then it was just like circumstantial because I did get divorced. I didn't have a dual income in New York City. New York City is super expensive. Peloton shoots in New York City. Yeah. The studio's in New York City. And then they were like restructuring some of the workloads for instructors and everything. And it just like, it didn't work financially for me, which was very frustrating. But also when one door closes, another opens. And it's kind of cool to be like, reinventing myself and then thinking about, you know, what can I do next now as a mom of like, what could I do that would be sustainable for me and the boys, but also still give me that freedom and flexibility to be with them. That was the other great thing about Peloton is that, I mean, I did have some like super early mornings I'd have to wake up and get there, but it also was a nice, like I had space still to be with my boys. I could always be there for most of the time, be there for school pickup. And so it helped me realize like, okay, in my next chapter, I definitely want to have a job that is, you know, flexible enough. I can be really present with my boys, but I can also make a good enough living. So it's fun. Yeah. And there's actually speaking of my next chapter, this website that my friend started and asked if I'd be a wellness expert on it. It's called My Next Chapter, and it's for divorced, either people thinking about divorce, divorce or post-divorce. And kind of like with diastasis, divorce, it's never too late to like, you know, you could be 5 years post-divorce and still be going through stuff, or you could be 5 years post-baby and still have, you know, things to figure out and fix. But
so true.
So it's a cool resource and website for people to go to if they're in any one of those stages, because it has an expert in each field. So you have a financial advisor, you have a therapist, you have the wellness, you have stylist, even you have a dating expert, like, you know, when you have to get back into the game. A legal expert, because there's so much to try and figure out. So that's one thing I'm doing, which will be really cool.
Yeah.
And I get to go back into person, like I did miss that element at Peloton of having the in-person, like touching people, adjusting people. Really just being one-on-one with people and talking to them about what they need, because you're mainly on camera. You could reach more people virtually, but you didn't have as much of that in person. So that's nice too.
Yeah. I love how like there's this like almost this theme of mindfulness, no matter what it is. If it's like physically you realized you had diastasis recti, or your Pilates friend was like, what is this shark, whatever you called it, fin?
She called it like a shark fin, like a little cone. Yeah. You know,
a little coning, which I don't even think that like that's something that they really check for when you go into your 6 week, you know, post-op. Like it was something that like you or a friend, someone had to be very in tune and aware of or mindful of, like, this is different about my body now. Like, let me pay attention to what it needs. Similarly, with Peloton, it seems like you had done so much great work, right? Also knowing exactly what you loved about it and when it was time to like say, whatever, but the fact that you like love the people, like mm-hmm. the acting, the like helping others, mm-hmm. like knowing that about yourself to be like, okay, my next venture needs to have X, Y, and Z, and I love being with my boys. Like
yes.
having that like thought and knowledge about it. And mm-hmm. I imagine even with your divorce, like just knowing like who am I outside of this partner, this person, oh, nice. this parent. And I just, it's really hard. I think I just commend you for doing that. Like, I don't know if you realize, I think that in of itself is so inspiring. And I think there's a lot of moms that struggle. Like even my girlfriends, I'm like, hey, what's your hobbies? Or what do you like to do? Like, I just don't, can't think at what? No, coffee. Like they don't have answers yeah. to those questions because they don't know what, like they don't even know if they're like what their breath feels like. They have never slowed down and like check, am I breathing, you know, or drink water, like basic needs. So yeah. I ask all this is like, if I'm sure this has been obviously a lifelong practice of you for you because yeah. of just the type of work you've done, but for maybe moms just starting out or just even too busy, if you're listening to this podcast, you've done half the work. Like if you're doing sure. something for yourself where you're listening to this far, What advice would you give some moms about the importance or how to start out if they're like, girl, I ain't got time. My to-do list is my identity. Okay. I got shit to do. I got people to feed. That's how I show my successful. You know what I mean? What would you say to those types of moms? Because I know there's a lot listening.
There's some sure. And I think this, it's interesting. It's the next thing I've been working on as well is this whole idea of treating yourself and yeah. not like with treats, although the treats play a role, but the acronym of truly realizing everything is already there. Mm. So I think when you were saying earlier about slowing down and tapping into ourselves, like everything, I used to say this at the end of a yoga class, everything you could possibly ever want, have, or need is right here inside of you. So us moms, like realizing that, like when we slow down and listen to ourselves, there's so many things already inside of us that we just are kind of either squelching down or not listening to or not really paying attention to or think we don't have the time to. But in reality, how we treat ourselves is how others will treat us. And how we treat ourselves is how we're going to also treat others. So I know if I'm treating myself well, I'm waking up, I'm meditating, I'm listening to my body, I treat my boys so much better. I'm less reactive. I'm more responsive. I'm open. I'm able to sit there and be with them and present. And then, you know, others start to hopefully will like, you know, going through the divorce I went through and never realizing all this stuff that I'd lost myself during that time and allowing someone to treat me in a way that wasn't really like respectful or kind. So I think that there's like this whole, as you start to treat yourself better.
Yeah.
I think for us moms, it's like, if we made an absolute goal of having to give ourselves one treat every day, no matter what it is. And don't think of it as always just being like the dark chocolate and wine.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, like right. you have to mix it up. Like one day it could be a call with your best friend. One day it could be a walk. Mm-hmm. One day it could be like listening to the birds sing in the morning, like simple little things, whatever.
Yeah.
One day it could be like smelling an aromatherapy or buying yourself a new, what, you know, like I just think
your
it's
thing. Good
that yeah. if you like think about not putting ourselves first in a like selfish way, but like the whole oxygen mask way, like what am I going to do today that's going to really feed my soul? What am I going to do to treat myself? Whether it's a small treat, a big treat that you're saving up for, you know, and then I think that really helps set the tone for, and then you might start to discover like, oh gosh, I really enjoyed playing the piano. I haven't done it forever. And I'm going to start doing that as a mom, no matter what, like I, you know, and then your kids are going to actually be like, wow, mom's a badass piano player.
Yes,
they're
yes,
gonna
yes.
things.
Yes.
Self finally. And they're going to love it. They're going to be yes. so into it. And then, yes. I don't know. I think that's the way to start. Like just little by little, day by day, like give yourself a little treat.
I love that so much. And I think it's so important too. I always say, in a way, like I've always loved like acting and doing like performing and things like that. I went to school not for that. I thought I was going to go down a very different road, but like I would always take the drama courses in college. Like it was just something I loved to do, but it wasn't it was not a career path that my parents, who were like PhDs and lawyers, were like, no, you're not doing that. Right. And it wasn't until becoming a mom, which in a way, on paper, people would think that this is going to limit your ability to do what you love to do. Mm-hmm. It was almost like the girls became a muse of mine. Like it was You know what I mean? It happened in a way, obviously in isolation, like it was COVID. So there was just, you really had to get like grounded and mindful of like, there was not that much you could do. In a way you were isolated to listen to those thoughts, listen to whatever like desires, because like the world was kind of shutting down. Mm-hmm. But then I had these beautiful little souls that were like looking at me, and like, I don't know, it lit something in me of just doing creative things, mainly just to communicate what I was going through. And the outlet that I chose to do it was through skits or reels or sharing. And it lit something that continued to now be my career path. And that's all to say that, like, yes, my identity is very much tied to motherhood. I love, love, love being a mom. But what is that creative outlet? Is it your piano playing, right? That your boys are going to see one day and be like, yo, mom's a badass piano. Okay, Alicia Keys, Alicia who, right? Or like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, my mom's like really cool and funny on these things. Like, she's like the whatever comedian like that they'll look up to. And I think that's what brings me so much joy and passion, where I'm like, mm-hmm. I have to do that because I didn't see my parents do that. And when we left the nest and everything's gone and it gets quiet, they don't have much.
Exactly.
Then what do you do?
I love that you followed that voice inside of you and that passion. And because even when we first started talking, I was like, you're a good actress. You need your own show. You're like so comedic. I mean, my boys love watching your skit. Mm-hmm. I think you're genius. And you're making it so lighthearted for all of us who sometimes we're in the trenches, and like the best thing people can give each other is that lighthearted comic relief where you just laugh.
Right.
You let down your guard and you feel good and you're like, oh God, I feel that shit too.
Exactly. And I love how you're even,
which is awesome.
Yes. And I honestly didn't know that you had gone to school for acting. So now that compliment, I'm like, thought of like, that means the world. I'm like, okay, you know what she's talking about. She said that was awesome. Anyways, I really appreciate that. But also just thinking about, a lot of people ask, like, how do you do it all? Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure they ask you, like, how do you do it? Like, how do you have time to do this? And it's work. For me, it is a little bit of work. It's a way I do income, but I didn't always make money from showing up online or being like a creator. I freaking love doing it. It's my creative outlet. It's like a non-negotiable, mm-hmm. just like your health should be a non-negotiable. So I would like encourage moms, like, don't try and be someone else. Like, true. I'm not going to show up online like the typical mommy vlogger, child wife. It would take me years to figure out how to do that. Like, it doesn't come naturally. Find out what makes you light up on the inside and just do it. And that in turn may turn into something or not, but like it feeds you in a way that makes you a better mom, a better partner, a better whoever you have to be, caretaker, I think, in life.
I love how you said that. It's like one of those things where that's kind of how my yoga practice has always been, where it's like it's a non-negotiable. Like, I couldn't imagine not doing it. It's just something like you were saying, like it's there. It's part of me. That's who I am. And that's what I do. Yeah. And it's fun. Like, I couldn't imagine not doing it. And that's when it really shines through too. And that's when it's so authentic.
Yes. And that's why people
I'm trying to, like, I couldn't be Betty Crocker in the kitchen and make these incredible food blogs that some people do. I'm like, wow, man, you make amazing. I try and take a picture of something and I'm like, that looks just
great. I've already taken a bite out of it. I'm like, forgot.
I'll share some of my recipes every now and then, but it's not going to be like, you know.
Right. Exactly. And so you are leading a teacher training right now, correct? Or am I? Okay. Yes. So tell me how that's
going. Teacher training. And that's so exciting for me, because I want to really be able to give other people now the tools to teach, because it's changed my life in so many ways. And my yoga teaching has taken me in so many cool directions and brought me to this place. And so it's my first ever, though, and I'm relearning a lot of the stuff I had to learn when I first became a teacher. So that's fascinating and great and humbling. And I think that's good in life, too, to always stay curious and realize, you know, there's a lot to constantly learn. And so I'm doing it with, there'll be a group of some in person, but then people who can't come in person can do it remotely, which is cool. And hopefully this is just the start of more. Like, if it goes well, then I can offer something like this annually, or like, who knows, eventually you'll culminate in some cool retreat somewhere in Costa Rica, or who knows.
Me up. I would totally do that. That would be amazing. Literally, if you do that, I will be your first person.
And you're coming.
Yes, I'm coming. Say less. Okay. I want to I know we've talked like a lot and about so many different things, but I wanted to go back just momentarily, just at whatever you want to share, because I do know that there are just so many moms who have reached out to me saying that it feels either they are a single parent raising twins or more, or it feels like they are because their partner is just not fucking showing up. Yep. Like they thought they would have a village, and maybe it was their friends or their mom or whomever. It's just very lonely and they're doing it all on their own. And I think particularly when you have your partner, where like you made these with me, right? Or like they maybe their partner doesn't respect the work of a mother. Like, what did you do all day? Did you do anything? Like the stay-at-home mom, the people not thinking that's hard work, which I cannot even say that is the hardest thing to ever do. Like maternity leave was a freaking, like going back to work was a break after I had to be home for that leave. But for someone going through that, because I just, you may not have it figured out yet either, but like, is there any advice or things that you have done to ground yourself or to not like, because I'd be petty as shit, y'all. I'm not gonna lie. I would like to think I'm not this mom, but I feel like I would be like, your dad ain't shit. Like, you, I'd be like, I would, it'd be hard for me to be present and not be my best self when I'm so mad at someone that might look exactly like my child or what have you. So any advice for any moms that might be struggling with either single parenting, co-parenting, or what that's looked like for you or what you've learned?
I think it's really challenging and it can feel isolating to your point where sometimes, especially if you're home all day long with the kids and then you're like, oh, you know, look, it's like sometimes there's not just that like validation, you know, or someone to say like, wow, you've done such an incredible job all day. And I notice even more so now when, so I had this incredible nanny, Damarist, and she was like my lifeline. And she was so incredible with the boys. Yeah. And she was like my second parent. Like she would do so many incredible things. And then when I had to leave the city and financially, I couldn't afford the city. And now I can't afford extra help, you know, it's me and the kids. And it's like, you realize all those little things. Like Damaris was one of those people who would like fold laundry, organize drawers, clean the whatever, the kitchen when she, you know, if the kids were at school or, and you realize all those little things were like, it's just me. Like I'm the only one who can do the cleaning, the laundry, the cooking and the this, the that, like even my boys the other day, I was like, we're a village, please put your stuff in the hamper. Don't want to put your stuff in the hamper anymore.
This is the village.
So it's kind of full on, full time, all the time. And so like, kudos to all people who are out there, even when you have a partner, can still time all the time. And so I think, again, that's where it comes back to kind of like any way, shape or form that you can find those little treats that you still don't lose sight of yourself and give yourself one thing a day that you can just be like, okay, this is even my 5-minute cup of coffee where it's just me and I can give something to myself, or that bath at the end of the night, you know, book the dumb foot rub when you can, manicure, pedicure. Yeah. I know it's like, it seems like you don't, sometimes it's also a worth thing. Like you don't think you're worthy of it or you deserve it, but you have to start building that, like those internal confident skills up. Like, yes, I deserve this. Yes, I am worthy of treating myself to something. And then you show up better for your kids. And then also I think the more you stay like in your own like lane, like it's so hard sometimes to not want to like get frustrated or project outward. But the more you, the more I keep working on my own self and just staying in my own lane and doing what's right for me. And the less I think I feel frustrated or upset the outside, you know, because again, like, If you're with a partner who's not helping out at all, that's really frustrating.
Yes.
At the end of the day, like you can't control what they're going to do. You can voice your opinions and ask for help as much as possible. And at some point, if it just never gets to that point, you know, then maybe you are like, well, maybe I would be better off on my own. But yeah. I think that it's like that realization where like, you know, I can only do so much when it comes to other people. So work on what you can control and do for yourself.
I love that. And it's so much easier said than done, right? So but like understanding like, right. But like, it really is true. You can't, I had an episode on resentment. And
oh, that's a good one. I'm going to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll link it below, but it really was like, I had an aha moment in therapy where she was like, resentment is really on you. Like, and I was like, what do you mean? Like, no, they're not doing X, Y, and Z. It's like, you can't control what they do. You can communicate what is wrong, right? How you're feeling. And if they don't do that, you can't get their arms to do it, right? Like resentment is when you don't communicate and you're just mad that they're not doing something or showing up. But once you communicate, if they're choosing to still not respect it, then that's a different issue them being actually resentful. Sure. Like if resentful is like you've communicated and they are, you had not communicated anything, but you're harboring these feelings about they don't ever get up in the morning and I need help with this and they never do anything, but you haven't really fully communicated to your partner what those needs are. Once you communicate those needs, if they're still not doing it, then that's another question. That's another conversation, honey.
Yep.
That might be like, you don't respect me, right? But that's not being resentful. Mm. And once you realize you really can only control your emotions and how you react to what other people do, it's empowering. At first, it could feel frustrating. Like you, as a mom, we want to control all the things.
Yeah.
It just makes our life easier. But if you can release that, it's like, okay, I'm going to be the best emotionally regulated mom I can be today. And that might just mean that like, this is going to be my little treat for today, or I'm going to let this go, or this person's going to do this. The house is a mess. I'm going to let this go, but this is what I can control is my woosah. I love your box breathing.
Oh yeah. The box breathing is great.
Yeah. What were you about to say?
And I love that. What also you were saying about like, sometimes I get to the point where, cause I've always been such a perfectionist and I want everything.
Virgo.
Exactly. You know it.
Yeah.
And it like the good enough. You know, like I swept up under the table because there was crumbs everywhere and I thought I should do the whole mop. And I was like, you know what? That's good enough.
Exactly.
You're going to come back and make 10 times more coffee than later. So exactly. I think also, especially if you're a single parent, knowing like, you know what? It's good enough. And my mom always is like, at the end of the day, the boys aren't going to remember if the house is clean. They're going to remember if you played baseball with them in the backyard.
Yes.
And remember if you were doing puzzles with them, you know, they're not going to be like, oh, my mom had the cleanest house on the block, you know? So I was like,
no, exactly.
That like,
yes.
Me, like what is important?
Yeah. Or they're going to remember if you just were okay. Like I remember specific moments when was she okay?
Yeah.
Was she freaking out, stressed out because she could barely, you know, all these different things where it's like, I think kids are just so, they're simple and we make them overly complicated, but they're really simple in so many ways.
Happy and.
Exactly. And love. That's really all they want.
That love. You're right.
They want that love. And I love the thing that you were saying too. I'm going to use that because just to bring it back to the beginning for 1 second, you had mentioned like the five things that you can like see.
Yeah. Four things hear, three things touch, two things smell, one thing taste.
And I had someone on our podcast, John Fogel, a couple of weeks ago. He's talking about emotionally regulating children and how trying to find, like, if your kid's in a really big emotional moment, like, find, like, the colors of the rainbow. Because what it does, it, like, takes our brain out of whatever it's doing to do that activity of finding five things you can see. Mm-hmm. It literally makes us do something with our brain where we can't hold both at the same time.
Exactly.
This rage or whatever, this, like, discombobulation and do that activity. And I think like, it's so simple, but our brains, we're all human. So like the fact that it could work for adults just to me is like a mental note right now. Cause I'm like, oh, if I can get to the point where I'm like thinking, what can I see? What can I, you know, I think I can now be right. I won't scream maybe.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Or like the peaceful fingers. I don't know. These like the peace begins with me. Peace begins with me. So I'll like do peaceful fingers. Like I have to remind myself, peace begins with me. Like if my boys are frustrated and I escalate, they'll escalate. But if I stay calm, they'll eventually calm down. And it might not be right away, but like, you know, that whole
thing
where you start to like escalate and then the next thing you know, but instead I'm just always like, peace begins with me. Like, I just got to relax.
I love that. And I love that. And I think like when those moments I do lose my shit, I always apologize. It never feels good, right? But the moments that I don't, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm a good mom. And then I might lose my shit the next 5 minutes. But still, with that win, I feel freaking awesome. And like, I just think, yeah, I don't take that lightly. Even little things that you can remember. It might not just be like breathing. It could be peace begins with me. I thank you for that because that's super awesome.
It's a good one. And you're right. It's huge. Like you don't like yesterday when my son, I couldn't get his hair. I don't know. Like he's into his hair all of a sudden. I was like, girls would be the hard ones, but you're the one who's blowing his hair a certain way.
And they want to be big.
And he screams, runs out the door. And I just kind of like let it go. And you're right. I was kind of like, good job, Kristen. You didn't like react. You just let it go. You know, I was like, wow, I can't believe I did that. And then last night I was yelling about the soccer cleats, you know. That's why we have to realize we're like multidimensional and we're not always going to have our shit together, but we're learning. And I love the fact that you said, like, when I do get upset, I'll admit it. You know, I'm sorry. We're all human.
Exactly. We're all human. Okay. Curious. Current mom hack that you probably wouldn't tell others you do or brag about, but it works. that you might be doing.
Oh, gosh.
I know. This is a surprise.
That's a really good one. You know what I've been doing a lot of times is like, you know, Jess Sims, she's always the you get to crew on Peloton. I love
her. Yes. So yes, yes.
She would always change everything from I have to, I get to. And
yep.
So like to the boys, you know, like you have to brush your teeth. It's more like you get to brush your teeth now and you get to notice how amazing your teeth feel. You know, like make them like slide their tongue over their teeth and like, look how amazing your breath smells now. You know, so I'm trying to make it like, as opposed to them always feeling like you have to do this, you have to do that. It's like, oh, you get to go to soccer now, guys. You get to do this now.
Ooh.
Like her get to thing has really gotten me even help. You know, like I'm like, I have to go for a run. I'm like, oh, I get to go for a run. I've got lungs. I can move my legs, you know, like, so I feel like even with kids, that's really helpful. Cause I think so often we get into these traps of like, oh, we have to do this now. We have even like silly things. Like kids are so afraid of going to the doctor. Cause it's like, oh, you have to go to the doctor. Yeah. But instead, if you're like, oh, you get to go to the doctor, you get to find out if your heart's beating and your lungs, you know, everything's working right. Yeah. Like,
I love that. You should be bragging about that. Cause that's a good one. Mine is not good.
Yours is not good. Oh, come on. I'm sure yours is great.
No, mine's threatening. It's like, oh, you're going to get like nightmares if you don't go to bed right now. Mine's just working, but I'm like, I hope I don't like, actually, luckily they don't have night terrors, but mine is like not good. That is what a lot better. You get to do something. You get to do this.
You get like, to do something now.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to do something. I don't have to.
Not always easy when it's like, you get to do your homework, you know?
Right.
Like, you get to do your homework, but now it's like, you get to do your homework. We get to figure out what's cool about school, you know?
Brushing is brilliant. Yeah. And I was like just threatening about the Easter bunny. I'm like, that's my go-to.
Funny. Oh, I know. Like any holiday that's coming up.
I'm not
like, their presents. You're not getting presents. You're not, right?
That's such like my 90s style default parenting.
Oh, gosh. No, it's same. We grew up with that same thing.
We grew up with it. But I'm going to try you get to instead.
And see if it works. It's just
see if it works. We'll report back. Right. Kristen, this has been so amazing. I love connecting with you. Like,
same.
All twin moms, but I'm going to really be using some of your resources that you've even shared on this call.
Cool.
When you have your Costa Rica retreat, I'm there.
There.
I'm there. Somatics for Dummies, we'll link it below, but please send it to me. I would love. Is there anything that we haven't discussed yet that to the mom surviving, the twin mom surviving, the mom of multiples, of boys surviving, the single mom surviving that you might want them to know or final piece of advice?
Just to give yourself grace, like to remind yourself you're doing a good job. You're doing the best you can. You wouldn't be here listening to this right now. You wouldn't be, you know, connecting with people or trying to like figure things out if you weren't a good mom. And you have to remind yourself that you really are an incredible mom. And like you, to our point, we have our days, we have our moments, and that is normal and that happens. But we're all doing the best we can. And I think at the end of the day, you just have to keep finding those moments, those wins, like you said, when you don't lose your shit or don't forget to, don't always focus on the things that you feel like you're doing wrong.
Right.
Remember to also reward yourself for those things that you're doing right, because you'll realize there's a lot more than you think.
100%. I could not stress that enough more, because we do, if we even make it through the day and the kids are asleep, they had a meal,
they
could have been all chicken nuggets.
Look at that, roof over the head.
Meal. That's a win.
Exactly.
Perspective and gratitude is all.
Totally.
Total thing. Kristen, where can our listeners find you to follow along all the things you got going on?
You can on Instagram, Kristen with I, and then I have my website, kristenmcgee.com, and I write on Substack under Kristen.
Oh, yes.
Like I'll just do like Monday affirmations, and then every now and then I'll post another thing, just like life events or what's happening, like supplements I'm taking, things like that.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, I'm going to subscribe to that as well. We'll link that all below. But again, Kristen, this has been amazing. Such a gem. You all, that has been another episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you in the next one.
And that's a wrap for this episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. But before you go, let me tell you how you can keep this village growing. First things first, are you subscribed? If not, what are you doing? Hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening so you never miss a new episode. We're streaming on all major platforms, so let's make it official. Secondly, let's stay connected on socials. Follow us on That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram for short form relatable content, and follow us on YouTube at That Twin Mama Podcast for entire episodes in all of their glory. And lastly, and this is a big one, if you liked what you heard today, please leave a review. Your 5-star love means so much to me and the team behind the scenes and helps us to keep going. It also helps us to find parents like you who need to listen to these episodes, which mean the world. So until next time, take care of you, take care of your crew, and remember, you're doing an amazing job. See you soon. Peace.